This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Economists are beginning to ponder the impact the Trump layoffs in the federal government are having. Today, the Commerce Department released weekly jobs numbers. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
In the week leading up to February 15th, an estimated 219,000 out-of-work Americans filed their initial claims for state unemployment benefits. That's 5,000 more than the previous week. With the White House planning to slash more than 2 million workers from federal payrolls, the next 2 weeks could see a spike in filings by people who depend on government funding or contracts.
The Agriculture Department's the latest government agency scrambling to rehire several workers fired as a part of DOGE. Some of those employees were involved in the government's response to the bird flu outbreak. Many of those working in the nation's nuclear programs also fired and then scrambled to be rehired. Hamas says it will stand by its pledge to release 6 leaving Israeli hostages this weekend. Overnight, the bodies of 4 Israelis were handed over. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Residents in the town of Buena Vista also had a local primary election for 2 town supervisor spots. 5 candidates were vying for the 2 spots, with the top 4 vote-getters moving on to the general election. Names as they appeared on the ballot were Jake Kleckner, Zachary Tomei, Ronald Morris, Gordon Brockway, and Jeremiah Robert Ringelstetter. The results show Gordon Brockway led in voting with 81 and Jake Kleckner with 70. Jeremiah Robert Ringelstetter received 65 votes, and Zachary Tomei and Ronald Morris each received 61. As a result of the 4th place tie, a coin toss will be held to determine who moves on between Zachary Tomei and Ronald Morris to run in April. Protesters marched on the state capitol. Organized by the 5051 movement, the protest around the nation came in response to what organizers describe as the anti-democratic and illegal actions of the Trump administration. The protest followed a series of executive orders signed by President Donald Trump and actions led by billionaire Elon Musk agency. Protesters called for Trump's impeachment and investigation into Musk. The idea for a protest in each state originated on Reddit in late January, and Monday's protest is the 2nd nationwide protest by the group following an event on February 5th. Watch out for scams this tax season. Scammers are using tax season to try and take your money. IRS spokesman Christopher Miller says one common trick is using scary messages to demand money. These can come over the phone, in text messages, on social media, or even letters crafted to look like they're from government agencies. Miller says the IRS or other government agencies will never demand immediate payment over the phone. If you get one of these calls or messages, simply hang up or delete it. If you're concerned about tax payments, visit the IRS website at irs.gov. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Bucks basketball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back from the All-Star break, taking on the LA Clippers tonight at Five Sur Forum. Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo talking to reporters for the first time since suffering that calf muscle injury in his left leg, the same that knocked him out of the playoffs last season. How concerned is he?
Yeah, nothing scary, but you just got to be... I'm very aware of my body. I kind of had the same feeling I had and felt the same pain I had before I got hurt last year. I didn't get hurt at the spot. It wasn't the first time I felt that. I felt it days prior to that, maybe like a week or two prior to that. And then, you know, you overcompensate or you keep on playing and you're like, okay, it's just going to be tight. It's going to be stiff. I'm going to play through it. But I didn't. I wasn't able to play through it and I got hurt.
College hoops, number 16th ranked Marquette on the road tomorrow night against Villanova. And hockey tomorrow night at the Kohl's Center in Madison as the Badgers host the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Face off at 7:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not quite as cold the next couple of days, but still chilly. Mostly sunny today, a high near 17. Wind chills as low as 20 below, especially in the morning. Mostly clear tonight, lows near 5 below. Sunny skies on Friday with highs near 20. Right now, it's 7 above zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, Norm Kapinski from Appleton Cigar joins the show and makes a popcorn pick of the week. And then president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council, Tim Cody, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Thursday, February 20th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18. That is the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $5.98. The same as yesterday. However, that's a 13% increase since Tuesday, $5.98 for a dozen of grade eight large eggs here in Wisconsin. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Coming up in just a little bit, Ben Wickler, the chair of WIS Dems, is going to be joining us. We're going to talk a little bit, Greg, about how we can get people motivated and engaged. And we got some work to do. Mm-hmm. People are exhausted, and we all understand that and appreciate that.
Yeah. Understood. The fatigue is nothing that we don't know about, especially in elections, especially in Wisconsin, where it seems like we have an election every 6 months.
Yeah, we like to visit our poll workers.
Apparently. I love ballots. What can I say?
Who doesn't? Yeah. Absolutely. So Ben Wickler will be here at 10:21 after the bottom of the hour news. Alex Lawson from Social Security Works is going to be joining us. Looking forward to this conversation. Mm-hmm. We are hearing a lot now. The other night, Donald Trump said, "Yep, nobody's going to touch Social Security or a Medicare or a Medicaid." And then the next day, he said, "Oh, yes, I'm all in favor of the House budget plan, which essentially attacks Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid." So we're going to be talking about Social Security. We hear very often that it's going to run out of money. So yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to Alex and finding out about how can we, is it savable?
Yeah.
Can we save Social Security? It's something that's important to a lot of folks. And I really wish they would stop calling it an entitlement.
I understand what you're saying. I understand. I mean, even I believe Social Security Works refers to it as that because that's the official title of it. So
right, because we are entitled to it, but the way one side uses that that this is an unearned benefit, and that is not what Social Security is. Everyone who works in this country has money taken out of their check every pay period to go to Social Security, so that will be there for you after you retire. So please don't try and make it sound like we're taking advantage of a program to which we have no right to. That's inaccurate.
Yeah,
that's my little pet peeve.
And honestly, I have the exact same attitude towards unemployment insurance too. People like to look at unemployment as, oh, he's on unemployment. Well, when I was on unemployment a few times, I paid into that. That's my money I'm getting back as an insurance policy from the state or the government to pay me while I'm off of work. I mean, I think those are important ways to look at it. And one other thing too is if we have anybody who in your 30s or 40s listen to this discussion about Social Security, because we always like to discuss, we always like to point this discussion towards older folks, 65 and older, because of retirement and whatnot. But I've been paying into Social Security since I was 12. And if I'm going to walk into that office one day and make my request and like, sorry, we're out of money, I'm going to be real mad. And these affect this. This topic affects a lot of people, multi-generational.
Absolutely. It's very important. So that is coming up after the 10:30 news. If you have a question for Alex, you may want to send it in now.
Yeah.
You can always text it in at 855-752-4842. Next hour, Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine after this deep freeze. Now spring is coming.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand Calvin has a question for Ms. Merlot.
Yes.
So we'll take Calvin's question for Brittany next hour around 11:21. And then 11:30, he joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company. And we'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Kiss My Grits edition. So stick around for that. I did want to start off, though, just briefly. We don't have a lot of time before Ben Wickler joins us. But we were talking about prices and the price of milk in Wisconsin and the price of eggs in Wisconsin. Well, now here's something to consider as well. This from NPR this morning from Joe Hernandez. How Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum could hit you at the grocery store. Yep, soft drinks to beer to aerosols, soups. Lots of stuff that we use all the time are sold in steel and aluminum cans. Well, Trump has announced that he will impose a 25% tariff on all imported steel and aluminum, trying to boost American producers by cracking down on foreign competition. Again, that doesn't sound like a bad idea, but we just talked to James Vanderloo the other day.
Yes.
About tariffs. And in order for us to replace all the supply chains that we get from overseas, just for us to set up to be able to do that would take a decade.
Not to mention,
we do not have these systems in place right now.
I don't think we have the systems in place. And I mean, for all of the manufacturing we want to bring back to America, do we even have all of the land? On top of that, is the land inhabitable? On top of that, is the land completely unusable? And as you mentioned with James this week, some of those resources that come from other countries, we just don't have them.
Right.
So this, once again, this magical, they pull out their magical wand of broad thinking and go, poof, manufacturing's back. No, it's not. And it's not because we don't want it. It's because we're just up against some, you know, nature walls.
Yeah, it's a much more complicated issue, Greg, than just coming in with a pen and saying, that's gone, that's gone, yeah. That's gone, that's gone. And now everything's going to be dandy.
Perfect. Yes.
It sounds great. Doesn't actually work like that.
Jane, I'm a billionaire. I'm not.
Good for you. Yeah. Working for you.
Yeah.
Ken Hendricks is the owner of Alter Brewing Company in suburban Chicago. He said the increase in cost of cans can hurt the craft beer sector at a time of rising inflation and growing competition from big beer companies. We've talked about this before. Yeah. These small craft brewers have been having a hard time for at least the last 5 years. There was this big explosion.
Yes.
And now, unfortunately, we're seeing the retraction. But this goes far beyond just beer drinkers, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, these tariffs touch us where we live, everywhere. Like, you know, it's the aluminum cans that our peas and carrots come in. It is an overwhelming influence on us. And we just, I mean, when I say we, I mean the royal we. Of course, you and I and Calvin and the listeners know. But, like, this thing of, like, it's so hard to explain because you have a president saying tariffs are the answer. People are saying, yeah, you're right. I guess tariffs are going to work. But meanwhile, craft brewers, and Pat had the co-founder of the Hinterlands Brewing on. She said the same thing, is that the cost of the aluminum for the cans is going up. And we are, and just not even because of that, breweries are closing down because of this big bubble that happened years ago. It's finally starting to burst.
The vice president of supply chain at the Consumer Brands Association says if foreign steel gets too costly, it's tough for American producers to pick up the slack. Again, Trump proposed tariffs on steel in 2018. When he did that in 2018, nine American tin mill steel producers shut down.
Nine.
I'm going to say that again. After Donald Trump imposed tariffs on steel in 2018, nine American tin mill steel producers shut down. Only three production lines are still open today in the U.S. You don't hear him mentioning that. Doesn't come up.
Well, that's probably not going to be his fault. That's going to be Joe Biden's fault or Hunter Biden's laptop's fault or something like that. It's never his fault, and he never wants to talk. Those aren't wins, Jane.
Right.
We're all about
wins. We never
wins
talk about
here.
Things that aren't a win.
Yeah. So.
Well, and this is especially going to hurt, again, we're talking about steel and aluminum tariffs and what this is going to do to producers here in Wisconsin. What if you're a small company and you make homemade soups? And this is how you package it in aluminum cans. Profit margins are pretty small for small businesses.
I'm pretty sure to switch to glass for like a mason jar is going to be even more expensive than a slice of tin. I mean, this is what we've been talking about since before the election last year. These arbitrary tariffs with no sense of real explanation are going to have, and these are just the tariffs we're talking about. We're not even talking about what Doge is doing. We're talking about the tariffs. They're going to have such a deep impact on the American people, and they might not happen. As James said, 3-6 months down the road, we have to still actually kind of like wait. We're waiting for the impact, and we're already starting to see something now. Imagine what it's going to look like in summer. In summer when there's beer to be had and parties, to, you know, tailgating, things like that. I mean, this is real questions here.
Don't worry about it, though. The CEO of Coca-Cola, James Quincy, he says that the impact of tariffs won't be insignificant, but it won't radically change a multi-million dollar U.S. business. Yeah, for them, that's great. And he said that if this becomes an issue, they're just going to do more packaging in plastic, which is great because only approximately 8 million metric tons of plastic end up in our global waterways every single year.
Also, am I going to be drinking beer out of a plastic bag? Is that what, like, beer in a box, like the water in a box or wine in a box? Like who wants a Bud Light? I got a box of it at home. It's great.
Oh, I would love to see the advertising campaign for that.
You can't even taste the cardboard anymore.
Bud in a box. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to get, and James Vanderloo will continue to be our guest. We're going to keep discussing these points. And as we get more into quarter two of the year, we're going to see these impacts happening through the stock market, through customer, you know, confidence, things like that. And I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, it just seems tragic to me that Elon and Doge and all these cost cutters don't consider ramifications.
Never.
They're not looking big picture. They're not looking down the road.
Because none of these decisions will impact them. They will
That's
be rich
point.
At the end of the day.
We are going to continue when we return with Ben Wickler, head of Wisconsin Dems. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I sent. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys of my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal be on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, we're going to talk to Alex Lawson from Social Security Works. What is their group? What do they do? And what do they think about saving Social Security? If you have questions, I would highly encourage you to text those in now, again, to 855-752-4842. Right now, delighted to be welcoming back to the show. He is the chair of WISDEMS. Ben Wickler is here, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
I am fired up. We have a huge fight on our hands. Everywhere in the country, people are like, what do Democrats do now? How do we fight back against this? And in Wisconsin, we know exactly how to do that, which is by fighting and winning the state Supreme Court race against Brad Schimmel and Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the forces of darkness and electing Susan Crawford. So that's how I'm doing.
So
just a couple of things on your plate.
Just a few things.
There are a lot of people, Ben, who are frustrated and afraid and exhausted and worried, and I'm glad to see you bringing some fire, because I feel like there are a lot of folks who feel like Democrats are lacking that right now.
I get it, you know, and watching Musk specifically, who's president of the United States, you know, in effect, if not in title, kind of running circles around everybody as he shreds, you know, food inspection and the Federal Aviation Administration and, you know, endangers just about everything that everyone counts on just working. It can be terrifying. And at the same time, we are still a nation of laws that is built out of states. And the most powerful way to fight back is at the state level. And you can see in what Governor Evers is doing, an attorney general call with these lawsuits in federal court and in the state Supreme Court race, and the chance to have a check on the Republicans in the court system, a path to be able to channel all the totally legitimate fear and rage that people are feeling into work that can actually make a positive difference. It is a testing, challenging time, but it's also a time where people who are paying attention they want a channel to be able to do something in this fight. And we can give them that in this race.
There are a lot of people who want to do something. It's like, just point me in the right direction. Excuse me. Point me in the right direction and tell me what to do.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. And that's, you know, I think it's easy to look at what happened last fall and think, nothing worked. But if you look under the hood, The reality is, in Wisconsin, we showed that things do work. We had the same flood of Republican attack ads that happened everywhere here, but we actually added Democratic turnout in Wisconsin in the presidential race, and we won the U.S. Senate race despite a wall of right-wing dark money with all the same hideous attacks against Tammy Baldwin. We flipped 14 state legislative seats. We have things that work to fight back, and if we use those things, there's a very real chance that Wisconsin can go the full distance to win a Democratic trifecta in 2026. And the critical thing is this spring, on April 1st, if Susan Crawford wins the state Supreme Court, then the people who want to dismantle our democracy won't get control of the levers of power in our state. So it's a must-win fight, but it's also a fight that if we lean in, it shows ourselves that we still have the fighting spirit. We can get up off the mat. We can face down the richest person in the world who's trying to buy and dismember the entire government. We can face him down and we can win. And so that is where my fire comes from right now. The sense of we have to show ourselves that we can still do this.
There's a lot of money behind Brad Schimmel, who, by the way, isn't for sale.
That's because he's already been sold, I think, is the way to understand that. It's when you change the for sale sign to the sold sign outside of a house. This is someone who, you know, he might as well be running with a rubber stamp in his hand. He would just do whatever it is that the MAGA billionaires want him to do. And that's what he did when he was attorney general. That's what he's done as a judge. He had a case where the lawyer for the defendant who'd committed hideous crimes against children gave him a campaign contribution, and then he gave the person a light sentence. Like, this is not someone you want on the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. And when we get the word out about this, people are infuriated, and they're ready and fired up to vote against him. So we just have to do our job and turn folks out.
So what is your recommendation for people who are listening right now to what can they do? Where should they go? Is it all about door knocking, or is it, I wonder sometimes, Ben, and we always encourage people to share what you know. If you feel like you're relatively well-informed on a topic, either from things that you've read or other folks that you listen to, talk to the people in your circle.
I absolutely agree. And this is a race specifically, spring Supreme Court elections. Most people don't know they're happening. So this is a time when sharing in your group chats, in your social media networks, at bars, at the church, like wherever you might be going, talk to people about this race. Sign up to volunteer, knock on doors with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Absolutely. Make phone calls. You can do that at wisdoms.org/volunteer. Chip in a few bucks. It is very helpful. Wisdoms.org/donate or crawfordforwi.com. And get the word out in your world, in your social network. Recruit people. All make a plan with a group of folks to go vote together. Taking action together is this source of incredible kind of rejuvenated energy when you see you're not alone facing this moment that's so terrifying. So this is absolutely the moment to reach out and build a community of people who are determined to get through these dark times. And when we do that, we will show ourselves that we have the capacity not just to survive, but to actually make forward motion and positive progress that has to be the antidote to the kind of vicious attacks that are turning our phone news alerts into a source of recurring anxiety each morning.
Absolutely. No, well Ben, said, Ben. Well said.
Ben Wickler is our guest. He's the chair of WISDEMS. I'm just talking about what we need to do before the April 1st election. I just find it hard to believe when Janet Protasiewicz was elected by such an enormous margin, because people wanted fair maps. People wanted their representatives to, I don't know, actually listen to their concerns and potentially respond to the needs of their constituents. Do we really want to go backwards now?
We, the people of Wisconsin, do not. But the right-wing billionaires who want to buy the state, they want to go back with everything they've got. And that's fundamentally the choice. The Republican super PACs are explicitly fundraising on the idea that they can re-gerrymander the state of Wisconsin, that they can take us backwards. And for anyone who wants a government that responds to us, and you know, sometimes we'll change our minds about what we want, things can change over time. But the idea of democracy is at stake on April 1st.
Ben Wickler, we're still glad you're still ours. Ben Wickler, the chair of WISDEMS, thank you so much, Ben. We will have you back on again for a longer segment. Really appreciate your time. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The cold weather is helping cranberry farms prep for the season. Brittany Merlo explains why.
Wisconsin is the number one cranberry producer, growing over 400,000 tons of crop every year. Once the harvest is over, they start flooding the cranberry beds with water and freezing them. And when the beds freeze, it gives the crop a protective layer of ice, which is crucial for it to survive. And when it's finally all ice, it's time to sand the beds. This protects the vines, stimulates root growth and renewal. And if the cranberry vines don't get enough water, they may die and cause issues for the farmers. This can also impact you, especially if you love to eat or use cranberries. So sometimes we have to weather the cold for a good reason. Cranberry season starts mid-September.
Craft breweries who use cans are getting crushed by tariffs. President Donald Trump's newly announced tariffs, a blanket duty of 25% on all steel and aluminum imports, are expected to negatively affect the nation's craft brewers by driving up the cost of critical materials used to brew, house, and serve their beer. Prices will probably go up. Sales data for beer in aluminum cans accounted for approximately 75% of craft breweries' packaged volume and revenue. The new tariffs, set to take effect on March 12th, are forecasted to raise producer prices for steel and aluminum by 15% to 20% in the coming months. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has reintroduced legislation to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list. Managing the gray wolf population has long been a topic of controversy in the state, with some arguing environmental agencies need more flexibility in managing the population, while others argue there should be a set population goal. Wisconsin has also seen an increase in the number of wolf attacks on livestock in recent years as the wolf population has bounced back. The legislation would prevent judges from overturning the change. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Director Peter Bogdanovich's final film has been remastered and will be released digitally by Lionsgate. The film Squirrels to Nuts was originally released under its first title, She's Funny That Way, in 2014. The acclaimed director passed away in 2022. In reality TV stars talking just to talk news, Bethany Frankel weighed in on Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, making light of their legal issues with director Justin Baldoni, who is also Lively's co-star in It Ends With Us. Frankel, one of the real fake TV housewives of New York City, said joking about the lawsuits on Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary was nothing short of genius, calling it the zeitgeist, a bullseye. She added that the only way to weather a storm is to go right through it, while also acknowledging that the storm might have actually been caused by Lively and Reynolds in the first place, admitting that no one knows what happened. Let this be a lesson to you youngsters out there. Always make social media posts before you day drink. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Finally, some comfortable temperatures, with highs hitting the low 20s, and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s, and by Sunday, above freezing. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlo. Right now, it's 9 degrees.
It might be cold outside, but we're back on the road to find out what makes Wisconsin great, including the American Burr Combiner.
Road trip!
It's the best ski race in the world. I'm Todd Alba. I'm taking you to the Burr Combiner and what it means for the state.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
Join us from Hayward, Wisconsin.
A special Todd Alba show Thursday and Friday.
At noon on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 51st annual American Burr Combiner. Yes, outside. Join us. It should be fun.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Galvanator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk a little bit about Brad Schimmel running against Susan Crawford for the Wisconsin Supreme Court open spot there. The election is April 1st. And a couple of things about Brad that have been published today in various newspapers. We will kick that around after 11 o'clock. We'll also lighten it up with a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot around 11:21. And Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports at 11:33. We are waiting. Are we waiting?
Yes, we are.
We are waiting to be joined by Alex Lawson, who is the executive director of Social Security Works, to talk about Social Security and what Donald Trump has said he wants to do. On the one hand, I think it was night before, he said, we're not touching Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. Nope, that's all off the table. And then the next day he went and endorsed the House plan, which, yes, looks at Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. I would love to hear from you if you receive Social Security. 855-752-4842. Do you get Social Security? And what does that mean to you? What does that mean for your monthly life? What would you do if your Social Security were either reduced or completely cut? If it wasn't there, what kind of life would you have? 855-752-4842 if you would like to join us and tell us about your experience with Social Security. I have one relative in particular who has said that if she loses her Social Security, she's not going to be able to afford to live anywhere. She's in her early 70s.
I think I mentioned this to you this week when we were talking about Alex coming on the show, is the fact that my mother-in-law has said that that Social Security is 2/3 of her monthly income. And I'm like, what do you say to that? It's absolutely, I don't even know what to say to that. It's like, then just come live with us right now. Just please come live with us right now, just in case, because I don't want to see us having to like sell off your house and your, just to make it.
Did you want to take that call from Cindy at 855-752-4842? We would love to hear from you. If you receive Social Security, what does that mean to you?
Cindy from Appleton, you're on the line right now. Thank you so much for calling. Are you or anyone you know on Social Security?
You collect Social Security. I have been for four or five years now. I also thankfully have a pension because I was a union employed.
Okay.
But that is not enough to sustain me.
Yeah.
It's only like, you know, a little less than $800 a month. I am still working. I'm a school bus driver. I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working because I want to. I'm working because I have to. And I also have taken on over the weekend a part-time job.
Jeez, Cindy.
Because I can't do it alone anymore with, you know, I mean, everything's getting so expensive. And if I lose that Social Security, I, along with thousands and thousands and thousands of other older people, are going to be homeless. And I mean homeless.
It's
terrifying, Cindy. It truly is terrifying.
And I know that my mother-in-law is not in that situation at all, and we are thankful for that. But when she said 2/3 of her income is Social Security, I like immediately my heart sank. And I feel like we should just tell your mom she can move in with us, because I don't want to see her have to. I mean, thankfully the house is paid for, but still, that doesn't, the cost of living past retirement is not fixed. It only gets more expensive. And nowadays they say things like, oh, you can retire with $1 million. And I'm not going to shake a hand at $1 million. But when I think about retiring at, I don't know, when I'm 70, because that's probably the closest, $1 million will maybe make it a few years. So like, and that's maybe with Social Security, if, as I said before, if it's still around.
Yeah, exactly. PJ on the live stream has a comment. I am on SSDI. Yep, it's my only source of income. If it's ripped from me, I will lose my house and end up living in my car.
Yep.
I went to college in hopes of getting off of the benefits that I've been on since 1997. I have a Bachelor of Science degree, and it didn't help at all. I'm so sorry to hear that, PJ.
Yeah.
And PJ, I don't think that, I know you're not alone. I know that you are not the only one that's in this situation. And we've all been told for years and years and years and years that this will be there for us.
Yeah.
You are paying into the system so that you will have some cushion when you leave the workforce, and you should be able to enjoy your golden years.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
The golden years. What happened to those?
Well, those are, if you can, Jane, if you can afford to retire and you've invested wisely and you have all those things that came before, they're going to be great and golden. But as I said, I told my mom, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to retire until I'm at least 70, if not older, if ever. But that's something that, you know, I have to deal with, unfortunately, and we're all dealing with. Nancy from Wausau is on the line right now. Nancy, are you on Social Security, or do you know anybody who relies heavily on Social Security? Thanks for calling.
I am on Social Security, and I do get a small pension, too, because thank God I was a union worker. But I worry, I've got two friends who have had to retire early due to health reasons, and their Social Security is very minimal already. I don't know how they're making it. And if this was ripped away from them, they would have nothing at all. And I know I myself would have to go back to work, and thank goodness I'm healthy enough I could do that.
Yeah.
But right? This is not a handout. I worked for this Social Security, and I paid into this.
Yes.
As well as everybody else.
Yep.
So it's not an entitlement. I want my Social Security. And when you think about it, there's people like the Elon Musks of the world that they are done paying in on day one. On January 1, they paid in their amount for the year. So basically, all we have to do is raise the cap on Social Security. Right now, the minute you hit $168,000 a year, you don't have to pay in anymore. Well, I'll tell you, if you're making $168,000 a year, you can sure as hell afford to pay in.
Yep, absolutely. Think
about the people who are making well over $160,000 a year, and there's plenty of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's – thank you so much, Nancy, for calling. I mean, I'm feeling that we've got other callers on the line. We have some texts on the live line. I feel like these are going to be a lot of the same discussion points because everyone's feeling this fear. And as I said earlier in the show, this is not a fear that should only be felt by people 65 or older or those currently on Social Security. If you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, this should be scaring the living bejesus out of you, because if you don't have the money that you're putting in right now – I asked the question, and maybe we can ask Jim Santel this when he comes to the show. Is this a case? Is this a standing ground for a lawsuit? It's like, you took my money and you wasted it. Where is my money I gave to you for safekeeping for decades down the road? Sorry, I'm getting a little fired up about this.
That's okay.
Dale in Oshkosh is on the line right now. Dale, thank you so much for calling. Are you on Social Security, or is someone you know reliant upon it?
I will be... I'm planning on signing up in September or to start drawing in September. I went back to college late in life. I spent down my 401k as part of my education fund based on the idea that I was going to get ahead. And then shortly after I graduated, my parents had health issues. I just spent 7.5 years caring for my mom, who passed from Alzheimer's.
Oh.
I was her 24/7 caregiver, and all I have to look forward to is my Social Security. And if they take it, there's going to be hell to pay.
I mean, that's...
So sorry about your mother, first and foremost, and good for you for loving her and being there for her. That's a very difficult role, is being caregiver in a situation like that. It is. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah. You're doing the hard, hard work, Dale. And our hearts go out to you for your loss and what you had to do. I mean, and also congratulations for going back to college too. Those are all great things. And that is, Jane, for me, that is one of the big sticking points, is that we talk about this blanket American dream where anything is possible. Go to college, get a job, have a family, don't have a family, get a house, do all these things. And I feel like a lot of us, at least from my point of view, we're doing all those things we were told we could do. And yet we still live with this specter over our head saying, well, but what's going to happen to us when we can't work anymore? I mean, not even retire. What happens if I can't work anymore?
Yeah.
Those are very real things. And we just have these two, I'll say it, idiots in the White House slashing and burning, taking fire to everything and not thinking about anybody who's calling us today, people who are texting us, ourselves. They don't care because, as Nancy put it, on day one, they're done paying.
Yeah. And they will get, for one thing, wealthy people to that extent will never need Social Security.
No.
They don't need that money. They're still entitled to it. It's an entitlement.
Yes.
They're still entitled to it. They paid in, but they will never need that to live like most average Americans. And boy, Greg, you make such a good point about the American dream, right?
Yeah.
You work hard, you go to school, you stay in a job or you move jobs, and you get to a point where you retire, and then you are supposed to enjoy all the benefits of all your decades of hard work and saving and all of those things. With, as you said, Greg, essentially a savings account that was set up by the government.
Yep.
That we didn't have really any choice about either, because they took it out of your paycheck, whether you wanted them to or not. So I know it's called an entitlement. Originally, I didn't have a problem with that because we are entitled to that money.
Yeah.
It's what the Republicans have done to that word that makes me furious, because it makes it sound like we don't deserve that money. We want money that we didn't earn.
Yeah.
That's not true. We all worked for our Social Security dollars.
Absolutely. We have a few more callers on the line. We can take this at the other side of the break. But before we do that, Ollie in the Northwoods, you are on the line. Thanks for calling. Are you on Social Security, or do you know someone close to you who is dependent on it?
I am on Social Security. I was on disability first because of health issues. And I've worked my whole life since I was 15 years old. I started working as a living babysitter. I've worked in caregiving field, in medical assistance field, many different jobs. My parents never could afford to send us to college, but my dad was in the Army for 22 years, and he too worked all his life, and this isn't something that we're getting for free. We did pay in, and I count myself as one of the lucky ones right now that I do have a roof over my head, but Social Security is my only income, and everything I pay for the medical, and I pay for health insurance, and I still have a ton of medicines that I have to pay for.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's hard for groceries, and even with the roof over my head, how will I pay for heat or lights?
Thank you so much, Ollie. Didn't mean to cut you off. We are right up against the break. If you're holding on the line, please hang on. We will take you on the other side if you'd like to join the conversation. Are you on Social Security? Are you planning on getting on Social Security? 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Door, let him in. Yeah.
This is news from the center, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jay Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're talking about Social Security and plans to cut or gut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It's interesting. Representative Jerry Connolly, I believe, was on CNN, and they were talking about this. And he essentially said, too, if you want to save Social Security, it's a pretty easy fix. Raise the income threshold subject to withholding tax. And you can extend Social Security by 40 to 50 years easy.
It's not difficult math to make this sustain. Also, I feel like even without these fixes, I still think there are people paying into it. Like, there are things that can be done, but you know, someone on the text line said, it's Terry from WASA said, isn't it the Republicans' ultimate plan to enter Social Security funds into the markets? They've been wanting to privatize they want to privatize everything. Anything they can privatize, they want to do that. And if that happened, I think the market would crash so hard because that amount of money going in on the backs of the American people pulling as you know, we got a lot of tax. There's a lot of smart, passionate opinions on this matter. The rug will be pulled out. And what would we do? I mean, I couldn't even imagine what would happen if we tried to privatize Social Security or
it would be a disaster.
or gamble it in the market. It would. Yes. Yeah. Because you know what would happen. They'd be like, crypto.
Oh, yes. Oh, don't even get me started on that. And we're going to do a segment on crypto as soon as we can find someone who's not nuts to explain crypto. We're looking for that person. We haven't exactly found them quite yet. But this goes back to, and again, I'm 65.
Yeah.
I can remember when they got rid of pensions. Companies weren't going to offer pensions anymore. So the answer was your 401k.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your 401k is going to be your retirement account. That's how you can safeguard yourself. And well, but again, that... your 401ks are subject to the fluctuations of the market.
Yes.
So if the market crashes, so does your 401k.
I've watched my mother's 401k, her savings crash twice in my lifetime. Like, hard. And she's patient. And she waded through. And she's, it was great. But, yeah, 1 minute you could be up quite a bit. And then if, you know, the government decides to play with things, then... sorry, all that money, once again, just like Social Security, all that money you paid into is gone. And before we have to move on, I want to take a couple more calls. Karina on the phone right now. Karina, are you on Social Security or do you know people who are on Social Security?
Well, I work with a lot of people who are on Social Security. There's a lot of Russian immigrants who are on Social Security as well because they came when they were ready, were like over 60 years old. Language barrier, not exception of their degrees and education and the work experience. So they basically were kicked out of the workforce just because that. And even though, guys, I just want to warn people to make it clear for everybody that, yes, okay, right now they're saying that the individual help is not, individual Social Security is not going to be taken away. And I absolutely agree with the situation of 401k. It's very easily can be repeated. Look what happened with the pension with the Milwaukee County. We're still out of tax money. They lost the pension for Milwaukee County workers, but yet we're paying as taxpayers into those funds so they can get retired.
I mean, and that's the thing, Karina, is that whether you look at pensions, 401ks, whatever, it's all who's in charge of it. It's all who's in charge of it. They can take your pension and gamble it. They can take your 401k and gamble it. And really, when we talk about the Social Security, that thank you so much for calling, by the way, Karina. There needs to be a stable income for folks who are retiring.
Our golden years, you guys.
Yep.
We were told, work hard, save money, be a good person.
Be a good American.
And you get to retire and enjoy your golden years. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's so much about the golden years anymore. It's more like, yeah, we need you to work until you die. Do you mind?
Whistler in Richland Center, we're coming up close on a break. What do you say about Social Security today? Thanks for calling.
Well, my dad was a steam fitter. My mom was a school teacher. And I'm 73 years old right now. I was in the service in the early 70s during Vietnam. And right now, Social Security is the only income that I personally have. My wife has a state retirement fund plus Social Security, but still, we struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Whistler.
Thank you, Whistler, and thank you for your service. Really appreciate that.
And your wife's service as a teacher as well. I mean, this has been the through line for the past two segments. These individuals are either, they're all on Social Security, and they all... they're not bathing in millions of dollars either. This is money to help them keep the lights on, keep the heat on, afford groceries. And the problem is, even on Social Security and with small pensions, sometimes you have to make a choice between the two.
We will read your texts when we get on the other side of the news. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast, statewide, countrywide. If you're global, you can hear us on the app. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
From the center, WRCE. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell just now announcing that he will not be seeking re-election next year. It ends a decades-long tenure for the longest-serving Senate party leader in U.S. history. European leaders are expressing growing concern about President Trump's comments regarding Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, labeling him a dictator and blaming Ukraine for starting the war. Today, Trump's special envoy for Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, is in Kyiv meeting with Zelensky.
Earlier this week, we saw those talks develop in Saudi Arabia between the United States and Russia, the first contact in over 3 years. And I think what the Ukrainians are looking for is a commitment from the United States that they will have a seat at the table eventually. That's been the main criticism.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon, where Defense Department employees could find out later today that they're the ones being laid off in the latest round of Trump administration firings. The Dow is down 580 points. This is ABC News.